Well, it used to be the largest retailer in the country. Now it's number 12. And it started in 1886 in Chicago. Richard Sears and Alva Roebuck. Sears and Roebuck. And you talk about a little bit of Americana going away. Sears Holdings said it would sell more assets, accelerate more store closures, and find other ways to cut costs after revenue fell short of expectations and cash flow turned negative in the important holiday quarter. It's a very sad situation. The company at one point operated 1,725 Sears and Kmart stores. They used a large chunk of their money from last year's real estate deals to reduce debt by about $1 billion, but they still have a long way to go. They got beaten out by Walmart, Target, crushing them, and the internet has helped too. We're going to open up the lines again, but check in too. Does anybody go to Sears anymore? I mean, I used to remember going there all the time in my younger days for tools, appliances. Not anymore. Home Depot's taking that too. Check in with me if you go to Sears, or maybe you don't. Okay, welcome back. Open lines, final hour to go. So let us go to the phones. Let's go to Seattle first. Tim is there. Hey, Tim, you're up.
Hello.
Hey, Tim.
Glad you're going for an extra couple hours a week of call-ins.
You know what? I like it. I really do.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea too. There's two things I want to mention is first, James Defense Weekly about 10 to 12 years ago said all a rogue nation needs to do is pack 2,000 pounds of BBs into a warhead and explode it at satellite altitude, and they would wipe out satellites for 100 years.
BBs, really?
Yeah, it was in Defense, James Defense Weekly.
Unbelievable.
And the route the North Koreans put their satellite on, that would allow them to spread a field of BBs all around the world to get all the satellites.
What do you think of this North Korean situation? What would you do if you were running the show?
I think China's putting them up to it. So I would
You
have
do, huh?
tough talk with China.
Yeah, it's got to
One
stop.
thing.
I'm concerned that something big's going to happen there.
The explosion the North Koreans had a few weeks ago,
Yeah.
I think what they were testing was a detonator for a hydrogen bomb.
No, you're probably right.
Because they probably had a minimum amount of hydrogen, but what sets off hydrogen bomb, you have to have an atom bomb for the detonator.
Exactly. And we've got Charles R. Smith coming up Thursday, and we're going to talk with him for a couple hours about what's going on in North Korea. This is a tinderbox, folks, and this can blow at any time. Susie's with us in Placerville, California. Hello, Susie.
Hello, George. Thanks for taking my
You are
call.
very welcome.
I just wanted to talk about the humming.
All right.
I live in between Sacramento and Lake Tahoe, kind of up in the lower mountains, right off of Highway 50. And when I first moved here 2 years ago, during the day, often throughout the day, you could hear these really low booms.
Now, could other people hear that too?
Yes, I was hearing it. And when we would go, I live in a senior apartment complex, and when we would go to bingo, I would hear the other lady saying, "What is that boom during the day?" And I go, "I don't know. It's like something really low, boom, boom, vibrating, you know." We could never figure out what it was. And that went on off and on for about a year. And then now I've been here a little over 2 years. And in the last 2 weeks, I'm hearing somewhere between 2 and 4 o'clock in the morning, after the TV's off and I've stopped listening to Coast to Coast and I'm trying to go to sleep, I'm hearing this humming sound coming from outside, like some kind of humming from the distance. It's a distance away.
Huh.
And I'm
Was
thinking,
it
well,
frustrating for you?
not really. It's not real, real loud, but I can hear it.
And it goes
Well,
away, right? It stops?
I go to sleep. I finally go to sleep, and it's not, I don't hear it during the day. but I'm thinking maybe it's a car engine rain. Maybe somebody's out in their car smoking a cigarette and they turn on the engine for the heater. But why would they be out at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning? And maybe
probably listening to me.
Maybe it could be a large semi truck, you know, the cab. Sometimes they turn their engines on to turn their heaters on.
And they vibrate, sure.
You know, and that could be, you know, like a quarter of a mile away. I could be hearing that. So I'm trying to figure out what it could be. But I have been hearing a hum for the last 2 weeks.
Or it could be what we've been talking about, these very strange things.
It could be that. I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe it's the fire department with an aid car, because sometimes we have that around here.
Sure.
I'm thinking maybe I kind of look out the window and go, no, it's not a fire engine, but it's a little lower. The fire engine, the noise of the fire engine is a little louder.
Is it frustrating, though? Is it driving you batty?
It's not driving me batty, no. But also, another thing I wanted to talk to you about was, sometime in October, we had a really violent rainstorm here. And it cleared up a little, and there was a little blue hole in between the clouds. And guess what I saw going through the blue hole? A chemtrail.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, well, why? Because they crisscross the sky here all the time. And I thought, why would they be doing it in the middle of a storm?
I bet they were doing it above the storm.
Well, yeah. But you could see that the cloud had lowered into the storm. You could see it go, you know, it was like this hole. You could see it just stretching into the storm. And I thought, well, that's weird. Why are they doing it now? I mean, if they're doing it to control the weather or something, why would they be doing it now?
Maybe they caused the rainstorm.
Pardon?
Maybe they caused it.
I don't know. But that day, a couple hours later, I was at the dollar store about a mile from the house, and there was a tornado warning. We don't have tornadoes around here. There was everybody's cell phones went off in the store with a tornado warning in our
county. That's scary. I don't know if you've ever been in a tornado warning. We get a lot of them when I'm in the Missouri area, and those are scary. The sky turns green. Not good. Tom, what do you got for us? Another text.
Hey, where do you think drive me batty came from?
Drive me batty.
When you asked that, did it drive you batty?
I don't know. I bet you could search that on the internet. It'll probably tell you that.
Curious. Kelly in Atlanta, Georgia. I was thinking about getting a ham radio, but I don't know a lot about them. Can you give me a little bit of information?
Oh, that would be art. I'm not Mr. Ham Radio. He is.
I guess she has to Google, too.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. But,
by the way, I shop at Sears.
But let me say this. The CC Radio 2E.
Oh, yeah.
Has the ham radio band.
Yes, it does.
And
great radio.
You can listen. It's not back and forth. You can't talk to them, but you can listen to them, and that's an amazing instrument to be able to do that.
They make a lot of great
CC Radio 2E, 1-800-522-8863, or ccrane.com.
Nobody's called yet.
I remember that.
Nobody's called yet, but I shop at Sears. Haven't you been there?
I have not been to Sears, Tom, in I don't know how long. I mean, there was a time they had the market on automobile repairs, tires, tools, big appliances, and in some cases, clothes, too. I mean, it was the store to go. It anchored malls. When they built big malls back in the 50s and 60s, Sears anchored them, of course. Now they're shutting down stores. They're selling stores. It's not the same as it used to be.
I just bought a great treadmill at Sears.
Well, people are still shopping there, and they probably had a great deal, and Did you own a treadmill before that?
Yeah, but it was old, and
so
I needed
what happened,
a new one.
So what happened to the old one? Did
they
come and get it?
Oh, the whole...
See, that is a great service, by
mm-hmm.
the way.
They
you know,
the
if you've got an old refrigerator and you just want to get rid of it, they come and take it away.
Where would you go for a new one? I mean, isn't that the first place you'd think of?
For a treadmill?
No, for a refrigerator. Where would you go? Sears, right?
I'd probably go to Home Depot these days. You know.
Do you remember a place called Bethanis?
No, I didn't have those in the Midwest.
They had the market on.
We just got an IKEA in St. Louis. They were not there.
Like just recently?
Yeah. They were not there at all.
Wow.
You've got them all over the place here, don't
For
you?
For years.
You like that store.
IKEA? I do. Gives you a lot of ideas.
Do you ever buy those tables and things that you put together?
No, I usually have things delivered.
I do that.
Those guys do it. You put them together yourself?
Yeah. I mean, this is not what I call high-end furniture, but if you need it for little storage areas and stuff, it's really cool stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Dom.
Sure.
We'll have one more text from you when we come back after the break. Let us go next to Catherine in Belmont, California. Hello, Catherine. Thanks for staying up with us.
Oh, hi, George. Love your show.
Thank you.
Taking my call, and I shop at Sears.
You do?
Yeah, they have a nice little boutique for Land's End, you know, the catalog company, so that's what I go there for.
Is it busy when you go shopping there?
Well, not per se. However, there's so few people working retail, you know, as a clerk.
Yep.
So when you try to check out, the line's around the corner.
Yeah.
But the store itself, no, not crowded, but not they're crowded. So understaffed.
A lot of real estate there. Wow.
Yes. But that was just a side comment. But I had called because the story you relayed earlier about your granddaughter finding these stuffed animals that she had donated years prior reminded me of a similar situation that happened to me about a year ago, and it still just boggles my mind.
What happened?
Well, about a year ago, my beloved dog of 16 years passed away, and she was a little princess girly girl dog, and I would put hair bows in her hair. And after she passed away, I donated all of the bows to the animal shelter or gave them away to friends that had dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And about 3 weeks after that, I had set up a phone session with an animal communicator. I'd never done anything like that before, but I really wanted some sort of sense that she'd passed over and was doing okay on the other side. So I had this phone appointment set up in the morning, and I woke up out of bed. I had the phone already set up on the floor next to my bed, and I stepped out of bed, and I just went into shock. Right next to where the phone was were two of my dog's hair bows.
Whoa.
Right there. It is at my heart. Before, because it was first thing in the morning, and I have an electric blanket. It was right under where the coils were, you know, coiled around the wires of the electric blanket. Like somebody had put these, like you would shove an envelope under a door. These bows were under the coil right next to my phone. And I literally... my heart started pounding because my brain was not waking up yet, so I wasn't thinking clearly. But before my brain could even process it, my instinct knew that this was something miraculous and supernatural. My heart was just pounding in my throat. And then as my brain became awake, I thought, somebody's been in the house. Somebody's ransacked the house. No, I live alone. No, nothing is in a state of disarray. This is supernatural. So when I did have the session with this animal communicator, I told her about this, and that it didn't frighten me. You know, once I realized that nobody had been in the house ransacking, but I clearly knew rationally there was no explanation. I had donated. There were no bones in the house. And she said, sometimes this happens. People, well, animals, she's an animal communicator, can... the process of telekinesis, they can move objects.
Sure.
And I just felt very strongly that this was her way, as incredible as it sounds, of communicating to me that, yes, I'm confirming that you will be speaking to me through this communicator. I've made it through to the other side. I'm okay.
Yeah.
And everything that she tells you that I'm communicating her is legitimate. And it was just extraordinary. I just never had anything like that happen before.
Well, you know, I think that's one of the things that concerned my granddaughter, though she never told me this. I think when the stuffed animals showed up, I think she thought something happened to me. You know,
yeah.
as a way of saying, hey, Ari, I'm still here. Everything's cool. And so she couldn't wait to text me and get a hold of me. And I think she was more excited that I was alive and answered her back.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Because I would have thought that. You know, if my parent or something that had gotten me something that I was so close to between the two of us.
Oh, yeah.
And it was gone for years. I mean, years. And then it shows up all of a sudden. I would think, oh, my God, something happened to somebody.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I would think the same way.
Hey, great stories, though. Great stories. Let's go next to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Jesse's with us. Hi, Jess. Go ahead.
How you doing, George?
Good, Jesse.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm actually very curious about the subject of the hum because I've noticed the sound for the last, maybe 4 or 5 months since last year. And I just tuned into your show tonight. And when you had Mr. McPherson on, as I was listening to your show, I was listening over headphones on my phone.
Uh-huh.
And I removed the sound. I mean, I removed the headphones and I hear the tone. And I'm like, you know, I've heard that tone, and I never just paid attention to it. It just came into realization tonight. So after your guest got off, I went to his website, and I filled out the form to let him know. And I downloaded a tone generator on my app, my phone, so I could give people an idea what it sounds like if they want to hear it. If they get a tone generator sound of some kind, bring the tone down to around 72.60 kilohertz, or hertz, not kilohertz, hertz. And it is just this low rumble. It almost sounds like a helicopter's rotor in the distance or
thunder. Does it sound like thunder?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, but it's constant. It's not like it doesn't fluctuate in volume. It's just a constant tone. And so, or it also sounds like a power generator whenever you lose power to your house, you know, just running outside. It's just a really strange low rumble. So I walked through my house to see if it was getting louder or softer, and I noticed the smaller the space, the louder the tone got.
Hmm. The smaller the space.
Like,
that's
going
interesting.
Going to the bathroom, going to the closet, yeah, the tone just got a little louder. But I've not had any issues with it. I just really did not realize it until tonight. And I was like, and right now, if I remove my earphone from my headset, I can hear the tone just like it's right outside.
You'll hear it. Yep.
Yes, sir.
It's there. Okay. Hey, thanks, Jess. Appreciate it. Interesting take on just what is going on out there. Linda's investigated it too. Linda Moulton Howe. She's on that story. Anonymous in California. Hello there.
Hello.
So you're anonymous, huh?
Well, sort of.
Okay.
Yes, I am. I'm just one of these people, an American citizen.
Uh-huh.
And I had a lucid dream with President Obama on his election night.
What kind of a lucid dream?
I fell asleep on my couch, and I woke up on another couch, a longer couch, and at the end of the couch sat a man with his leg crossed and his like moving, and I said, where am I and who's this man at the end of the couch? And then I went up to the ceiling. It was high ceiling. And I looked down, and I realized it was President Obama.
What was he doing there?
He was, eyes were batting. I had an impression that he couldn't see me, but he knew I was there.
So you were, like, in the White House?
I was there. Yes, I was. I didn't see the surroundings. I just saw the couch and him.
Maybe you were remote viewing. That's very possible, too. We'll be back. By the way, a little special thanks to all of you. We are at 615 affiliates in North America. That, of course, includes Canada. And you have made us and continue to have made us the number one late-night talk show in the country. A lot of competition out there, people trying, but they just can't seem to get through. So thank you so much. Got some more exciting news to announce in a couple weeks. But thank you. I just want you to know we appreciate it. Let's move back to the phones and let us go onward to Jack in Long Beach, California. Hey, Jack, welcome to the program. Good to have you with us.
All right. Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Sure thing.
Well, hey, everybody wants to talk about the hum tonight. Well, I'd like to hum a different tune real quick if I could.
Sure.
Well, I don't have Seven Dwarves, but I do have eight things that the middle class cannot afford anymore. Eight things that the middle class cannot afford anymore. And then after I say those eight things, I'd like to make a comment about Sears as well.
Sure.
The eight things. Number one, vacations. Two, new vehicles. Three, student loans. Four, emergency savings. Five, retirement savings. Six, medical care. Seven, dental work. That's no joke. Number seven is dental work. And number eight is skipped paychecks. But my question is, if no one can afford vacations or new vehicles or student loans or emergency savings or retirement savings or medical care or dental work, might as well add haircuts to that or skip paychecks, then who in the United States is middle class anymore? Because those were the indicators when I was growing up. Those were the earmarks of being middle class, that you could, you know, the parents would go out every 3 to 5 years and buy a new car, and they would either pay cash for it or they would finance it. We would take a vacation every 3 to 5 years, and we always went to the dentist no matter how broke my parents were. But if people can't afford that, then who is middle class anymore? And so it looks like for me that I won't be buying my house in Rancho Palos Verdes anytime soon. But my comment, this kind of ties in with the economy too. When you mentioned Sears earlier, it does seem sad. I know that Sears had acquired Kmart some years back.
Yeah.
And I did step into Kmart here in Long Beach. Kmart in general, they have to survive. And just like before Radio Shack went the way of the dinosaur, if you would walk into a Radio Shack, the prices were off the chart. Well, the same thing at Sears, Kmart rather, because it's owned by Sears now, to survive, that the prices are up. But a little known fact that Sears and Roebuck actually started with railroad watches. They made handmade, pocket watches, not wrist watches, but pocket watches for the railroad. And then once the watches took off, it was kind of an accidental thing that they had a catalog and was more geared towards the railroad and the pioneers. And then once that catalog took off, then they started opening up the storefronts. But now we have what we're talking about today, and now they're closing. And it's kind of a scary fact that, you know, Amazon could potentially even put Walmart out of business.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, online shopping is huge now. Huge.
Right.
I mean, I do it. If I don't need something right away, do it online. It's delivered to you. You don't have to worry about parking and all that. It's there for you.
Right, right. And I totally agree with that, because I group my purchases together on Amazon. And it's sad to see Sears go that way. But, my Sears back in, I'm originally from Dayton, Ohio, but I've been out here in California for a little over 8 years now. But the Sears back, like you said, they anchored shopping malls. Well, not only is the mall, the Salem Mall in Dayton, is gone, it's now a parking lot. But the Sears that anchored that mall, and it was built in the late 60s, the Sears location that anchored that mall held out to the very bitter end, and the building is still there. It's still got the logo, but it's completely abandoned, and it's empty. There's nothing there.
And they want to sell a lot of their real estate, but who's going to buy it?
No one.
No.
No one.
Unbelievable. Hey, good. Good observations, by the way. And what happened to the middle class? It got whittled away. I hope we can get it back. I really do. This planet is a-changing. It really is. But, you know, and we've talked about it before, and it sounded like a conspiracy. They want this one world government. They want everything to be filtered through the United Nations. All the countries will be like little subsidiaries of the holding company. And that's the way they want to run it. They want to run it for wars, for police, for everything. The autonomy is whittling away, and we're going to have to eventually put our foot down and say, it's not going to happen. Not here. Let's go to Pat in Brewer, Maine. It's your turn, Pat. Welcome to the program.
Hi, George.
Hi there.
Great night. I have a story about my wedding dress that got lost. And after my mom died, my brother inherited the house. And he and his wife at the time decided that they were going to have a big yard sale because our attic contents was just full. I mean, you couldn't even walk in there.
All kinds of stuff.
So he found a wedding dress in there, and he thought it was my sister's. Because Mom used to always say, why does everybody just drop everything off out here? You know,
it was the dumping spot, right?
I mean, even the people that live next door, their house was older than ours, and ours is almost 300. And when they left, they gave her the attic contents, but she was a carpenter's finisher helper. She loved redoing old tools, things like that. But anyway, so this yard sale, I guess it ended up being like half the length of the road down there. Well, he took the wedding dress because he didn't dare put that in the yard sale, and he shipped it off to my sister, who was living in Atascadero at the time.
Okay.
Now she's in Texas. So my sister said, this isn't mine.
It was a big wedding gown, a big white wedding gown, right?
Well, she got married in my mother's wedding gown, which was back in 1935. That was beautiful, but she remarried again. But this was my wedding gown.
It was yours.
Yeah. So she gets this in the mail, and she's like, what's this? This isn't mine. And I don't know why she didn't know it wasn't mine.
Did you know it was up there?
I couldn't find it either. This is what's so weird about it. So get this. Now, she doesn't know what happened to it.
It's gone. It's got to be someplace, right?
I know. And it's like, I wish I knew where it was because nobody ever gave it back to me.
And was the wedding gown lucky? I mean, did you stay married?
No.
Oh.
Yeah. But it's very sentimental, though, because, I mean, we truly loved each other, you know, and he ended up dying, too.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
And, yeah, him and my mom were really close. But now it's just somewhere, and my sister doesn't know where it is.
It's in another dimension. You never know. Hey, thanks for the call. Next up, let's go to Mike in Ohio. Hey, Mike, good morning to you, sir.
Hey, good morning, George. How are you?
I'm great. How about you?
I'm okay. I get a little nervous when I call. It's been a couple times since I called, but...
Yeah, you're getting more comfortable every time you call.
Yeah, I just feel... I feel difficult in contributing because, you know, so many things have happened in my past, and I feel I want to be positive, but I seem to pick up on a lot of negative.
You got to fight that.
Yeah, it's real hard, and I have a perception of picking out the negative things and issues. I'm really good at it, but it kind of turns people off.
They sense that, don't they?
Yeah, they sense my energy and my spirit, and it kind of, you know, I try to be positive, but it turns them off. And I tell you what, I'm pretty good at predicting a lot of different things. I've called a couple of times. I've been involved in so many things in my life, so many experiences that I'll email you. I've only been listening to the show for a short time.
I'm glad. By the way, you don't sound negative at all.
Well, right now I think I'm comfortable. I'm all right. You know, some of your issues that you have with some of your guests, when I concentrate on some of those issues,
mm-hmm.
I seem to dwell towards the negative aspect of that.
The doom and gloom stuff?
Yeah, but I can pick out a lot of doom and gloom, and, you know, I'm trying to resolve situations and try to find solutions for this.
Let me ask you this about you personally. Do you find that when you're around people, they think they have to get away from you?
No.
Okay, no. That's good. So you're not like a psychic vampire, as we call it.
Well, you know, I wondered if I should get kind of like tested for that. Not tested, but maybe get a reading and have someone like view my soul, I guess I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Like to find out if I am. Maybe I could be partially that way, or maybe I have just energy around me.
Do you have trouble in relationships with friends or anything like that?
Sometimes other, you know, female relationships.
Yeah. You just got to turn on that positive twist that you sound like right now.
Yeah. I can do that. See, that's some things. I can do it one way or the other.
Were you always this way as a kid?
Yes. I've had many experiences when I was a child, some of them negative, most of them negative. but I've always tried to stay positive. And I've seen the negative in other people, and then I look at that and say, like, well, that was the outcome of this issue or that issue. Well, I don't want to go down that road.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, I kind of called. I have a lot of things that I think about. I called a little bit about the hum, but, you know, I mean, I thought that maybe that's a way that maybe something or someone, maybe a government, private organization, different energies are controlling, say, our
could be our
power of intention.
Yep.
Or our unconscious thought to direct that a certain way. What do you think about that?
Very possible. Something's going on. I'm look, the theory of the doctor when he was on is possible that, you know, bodies are picking up these waves and they're hearing the sounds within their body. I think it's something else. I think these sounds are physical and people are hearing them through their ears. And something's going on.
I think it's both ways, but I think that the people that are hearing those sounds are the type of people that either have their, that don't have their mind or body connected with their chakras or energies or whatever, to a point where they can eliminate that hum, or the type of people that are so distracted in their daily lives that they don't hear that hum.
Yeah, exactly. What are you doing up so late, by the way? You drive, don't you?
Yes, you've heard that. You probably heard me. But I think the people that are hearing the hum are the people that are quieting their minds enough to where they can hear it.
Maybe.
But they're not quieting their minds enough to control it and put it out of their mind.
Maybe. Okay, where are you headed these days?
Just to Cleveland.
That's it. Okay, be well, Mike. Check in later. Howard in Vancouver, Washington. Another Vancouver call. This is on our side. Hey, Howard.
Hello, George.
Hi.
Good to talk to you again.
You too.
This may have already occurred to you, but I suspect I know why you have trouble getting political candidates on your program. I think that... they know that it is inevitable that someone is going to ask them about UFO disclosure.
Or something like that.
Yes, and yeah. If they respond to that or engage in that kind of a conversation, that their political adversaries will, you know, or may use that
against eat them up. Yep.
It's like kryptonite to them. And perhaps if you could somehow assure them that, you might, you know, somehow shield them from that kind of a question.
I couldn't do that. That's part of me, you know, Howard. I won't compromise. And as long as a caller is not rude or profane, I think they should be allowed to ask any question they want. And, you know, the UFO subject, which has been the staple of this program for so many years, ought to be asked of these folks. I'd like to know if they believe in extraterrestrial life, if they know of anything, if they're going to try to get to the bottom of it. I mean, that's one thing Hillary has alluded to. She's not talking about it anymore because somebody probably got to her, just as you suggested, and said, we don't want to hear that anymore. Don't talk about that. It's crazy. Anyways, this is going to wrap up our midweek open lines. I hope you like these. This is something that... I've wanted to do for a long time, and it gives us a great opportunity to do that where, you know, you get your guest during the first couple hours, but then the second half of the program, it's all about you. Interactive programming here on Coast to Coast AM. Don't forget, you can always email me at george@coasttocoastam.com. Don't forget to email tom@paranormaldate.com. If you're part of that, we're looking for some people to do some promotion, so check in with us as well. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burleson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.